We're talking about the seven big habits for explosive personal growth. And this these habits will lead to explosive empowerment, which is our theme for 2011. Let me remind you what a habit is. It's a settled and regular tendency, or it's a practice. It's an expected procedure in doing something. And so it's something that you do over and over, repeated exercise, repeated activity, and where you get proficient in it and skilled in it. And our lives right now are made up of good habits, bad habits. And of course, the better habits that we have, the better our lives will be. And the same could be said for the habits that we're talking about. We want to, as we pick up new habits, it's interesting, when you pick up new habits, you're letting go of something. And now's a great time to make those decisions, is to let go of some things in our lives we don't want and pick up some new things, or maybe even some old things that we have lost or left behind. All right, the seven big habits. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And last week we started with our first big habit. Anybody remember what it is? That was fellowship, and I encourage you to get the CD from that in the Resource Center. But the second one is found in the, real close to the first one there in that first sentence in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Doctrine, and you look in my center column reference, it's got a little mark by the word doctrine. In my Bible, it says teaching. Teaching. And of course, teaching the word. So the second big habit we want to talk about today is renewing our minds. Renewing our minds. And let's turn over to Romans chapter 12, which has the great verses on renewing our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, sisterin, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many want to do the will of God? How many desire the perfect will of God? Well, in these verses, has some keys for that. But let's go through some of these words. And as you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. And you can do some study on words, get some books and different things. I mean, first of all, you could just take words in the English and look them up, and that's good in itself. So you could look up conformed and transformed and renewed. Just go to the English dictionary, and it gives a pretty good dictionary. But you can also do some further study. I've got several different books that I use. There's the Vines Expository Dictionary, a couple other dictionaries that I have. And so I can actually go and look in the Greek in this particular situation at these words. And even I've got the Spirit-Filled Life Bible as well, and it's got Greek and Hebrew words in it. I really love that part of that particular Bible. But so I just kind of went through these different words, the three main words in these verses, which is conformed, transformed, and renewed. those three words and kind of looked at each one of those words. So let's look at the first word, conformed. That word means conforming oneself to the outer fashion or outward appearance, accommodating oneself to a model or a pattern. So meaning, and it says in this verse, conforming to the world. So it means conforming yourself, fashioning yourself, patterning yourself after the world and the world's ways. So that when someone were to look at you and you have someone that's in the world, when we say someone's in the world, that means they're without God. They're operating in this world system. The Bible says that Satan is the god, little g, of this world, of this world system. And so if you put a Christian that's not that's conformed to the world and an unbeliever and put them together, and you're really not going to tell any difference. They're similar, identical, really, in what they say, what they do, their thoughts. And the Bible says here, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world's ways, because the way of the world is death. The way of the world is destruction. It doesn't produce life. And so we have that in the church today. We have a lot of people that look and think and talk like the world. And that's not good. All right, so God says, do not be conformed to this world. But then he says, be transformed. Now, in the Greek word for this is metamorpho. Metamorpho. What does that sound like? Metamorphosis. And this word means to transform. It means to change. It means to transfigure. And if you remember the story about Jesus being transfigured in the Gospels, that word transfigured is this word here, where he was actually changed into this image. And so it has that context, and you think about a caterpillar goes through this process of transformation and is turned into a butterfly. And that's really what the meaning of the word, it's transformed into something completely different. It's changed. And so God is saying for us not to be conformed to the world's ways, but to be transformed. And it's to be changed into something completely different. So when we're conformed to the world, we're conformed to the image of the enemy. And the image of the enemy is weakness, insecurity, failure, lack, being dead to God, never being good enough, unloving, uncaring. And our actions, our behavior, and whether you realize that, what we're doing now, our actions correlate with our image of how we see ourselves on the inside. Does that make sense? We act like what we see. We see the things on the inside, and we do those particular things. Now, when we're transformed into whose image? The image of God, or the image of Christ. And the New Testament talks about being in Christ. That when we're born again and we're saved, we're now placed in a position in Christ. We're in Him. And so in the image of Christ, that's a place of security. We're accepted. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You remember that in the Scriptures? It talks about having the mind of Christ. That means you're having God thoughts, God ideas. We're alive to God. We're strong in the Lord. And then we become loving. We become like that image of our Father. We become a loving person. So how are we transformed? How are we transformed? The verse tells us, by the renewing of our minds. And that word renew means renovation, renewal, transformation. It means to make new again. And you've heard this if you've been here, man is three parts. I am a spirit. You can't see my spirit. You can sense it or, you know, get some kind of a glimpse when I talk or you're around me. But the real Matt Judd's on the inside is a spirit. And the Bible says that we have a soul. Soul is made up of three parts: mind, your intelligence, your thinking, your will, your decisions, you know, and your emotions. And then you live in a body. That's what you're seeing right now. You see my body, but the real me is on the inside. When I die, when that time comes, they're going to put, I think, we'll just see what happens, but just say we'll put my body in a coffin, but I'll be gone. I'll have stepped over into eternity. And so it's saying here, I'm renewing my mind, renewing your soul. And that means, because so when we're born again, when we're redeemed, our spirits are redeemed. That's a one-time thing. I don't need to be redeemed again. Jesus paid the price. I accepted it, Romans 10. I believed, I confessed. I was born again, brand new person on the inside. But how many know just because you were changed there doesn't mean that your mind was changed? My body wasn't changed. Now, my mind and my body were affected by it, and certainly down the road as I began to grow as a believer, those things began to change. But there's a renewing that has to take place in our minds, and that's a process. And you never arrive. You never arrive, because how many know that things in this world are decaying? Whenever you buy something, your new car or new furniture or new clothes, the minute you get it, and actually it already is, it's already decaying. And we just fight to try to keep it new. We do all we can to keep it new, but how many know it's going to decay? And eventually it's going to run down, and then we'll get a new one. And what do you do when you got an old room and you're tired of it and you just can't take it anymore? You renovate it, right? And that's a process. And so this word renewing, it's a renovation of our minds, and that needs to be taken place. And it happens with the Word of God. I like to say this. I can't say I've ever read this anywhere or have heard this. It's something that I've just seen. And the way I look at things when I look at spirit, soul, and body, I look at the soul as the filter or the connector between the spirit realm and this natural realm. I'm a spirit, and so the Holy Spirit that's in me speaks to my spirit. But then in order for it to impact me, it's got to get to my mind. It's not going to do me any good if it's in my spirit and I'm not, what does it say? The Bible say, I pray with the spirit and I pray with my understanding. God wants us to have the revelation, but also have the understanding in our minds, because that's how it's going to do us any good in this earthly realm. So I look at the mind or the soul as the filter between the spirit and the natural. Now, how many have filters on their air units? And how many enjoy having to change the filter? And have you ever changed the filter and it's just nasty? You wait a year, 2 years, 3 years, pull that thing out. It's got a layer of junk on there. And what happens if you don't change that thing in a regular way? It's going to affect the airflow, because that's the intake coming into the air unit. And as that filter gets clogged, it's not going to perform as well. And eventually, Scott, you know what I'm talking about, eventually that unit's going to break down, because you're not taking care of the filter. And I have, in one of our things, I have a filter that's one we bought. It's supposedly a lifetime filter. And, you know, so when I take that filter out, I actually have to wash it and clean it to get all the junk and all the nasty stuff that's on there to get that off. And that's really a good image of what has to happen with our minds. Let's look over in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives." This is a little plug for the Art of Marriage conference. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." So if we look at it that way, the mind needs to be washed. It needs to be renovated. It needs to be renewed. And the better job that we do that, the better the airflow, the better the communication between the Spirit of God and our minds. We call that revelation. We call that wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is having God thoughts. Wisdom is God ideas. Wisdom is correctly applying knowledge. It's not going to do you any good to have all this knowledge if you can't apply it in the proper way. And so, I think the key to believing a believer is to have God ideas, God thoughts. And He wants us to have those. But if our minds aren't renewed, then we're not going to have God thoughts. We're going to have the world's thoughts. And again, that's not going to produce life, or that's not going to produce what God has for us. All right, so what's the best way to renew the mind? The Word gets to our spirit by three gates, three primary doors or gates or windows, whatever you want to say. And if I'm talking about the Spirit, I'm talking about our mind as well. You know what those three things are? Our ears, our eyes, and our mouth, our words. Those are the three primary gates to our spirits or to our souls. And so when we're talking about renewing our minds, of course, we're going to need the Word. So we're going to need to hear the Word of God. We're going to need to study the Word of God. We can read books. We can listen to CDs. We can watch DVDs. Of course, being in here at church right now, you're hearing the Word. Hopefully, you're hearing the Word. And maybe a better way to put this is to feed on the Word. What does the Bible say in Matthew 4? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He's comparing the Word to food. And so we need to be feeding. And how many know that we like to eat regular food? Is everybody eating something today already? I had my kashi, my cardboard. I already had my cardboard, and I had a cup of coffee, had my vitamin. What did I do? I fed my body, nourished my body so I have strength. And if I don't feed my body, I'm going to get weak. You ever been hungry or gone for a period and you start getting weak? Your body needs nourishment. Well, spiritually, we need nourishing, and so we feed on the Word of God. And the Bible says these things. I'll show you the verses. It feeds our spirit. It renews our mind. The Bible, it also says it brings health and healing to our bodies. So the Word is the only thing that I know of that affects all three parts of man is the Word of God. But it's a process. And so we feed on the Word of God. And just like we eat food, it's a process. We have to do it over and over. And we should do it daily. And how much should we feed on the Word? We should feed on the Word so much, just like food, that it becomes a part of us. How do you know when the Word becomes a part of you? When it starts coming back to your mind and you comes back in your words. It comes back up. It comes back up to your mind. Now let me make this statement, and this is something we all need to look at. If transformation is not happening in our lives, then our minds are not being renewed. If transformation, change, like I mentioned earlier, is not happening in our lives, then our minds are not being renewed. And that just because we're in church, just because we're hearing Bible messages, does not mean that our minds are being renewed. So we, now, will it be an immediate change? Sometimes it is dramatic in a particular day, but you know, if we're going to see it in our behavior, it's usually going to be seen over a time period. A lot of times we like to look at the beginning of the year. I like to reflect on my previous year, and we do this as a family. We'll write down all the different things that have happened in the previous year. Then we'll write down what we want and desire in this upcoming year. But let's just reflect. Let's go look back at 2010. Did we change? Are we better? Are we more Christ-like? And if we're not, then our minds aren't being renewed. And so we have to look at that whole process. Am I being renewed? Again, just because you're coming to church, I mean, that's a good thing. We talked about fellowship last week and sharing and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. But there's a whole lot of people that are coming to church that there's no change in their behavior. And in some people, they're going backwards. The renewal process, the transformation process, is not happening. And it's God's will for us to be continually. The Bible says for us to go from glory to glory. He's continually wanting us to grow. So if I'm listening to the messages and I'm not changing, why is that? Is that a good question? If I'm hearing the Word of God, but I'm not seeing any fruit in my life, there's no change, why? Well, I think I have the answer. It's something. It's not something that's new for you. But before I tell you what the answer is, let me ask you this question. When does food taste its best? When you're hungry, yeah, that's good. But food is at its best when we have these raw ingredients, and we take all these ingredients and we put them together and then we cook them. Isn't that like a miracle process? Especially for guys that don't cook. But it's amazing taking all these ingredients and then we bake them, we cook them, and turn them into something amazing. It's changed. It's transformed into this other thing over here. And how many use the crock pot? And you put it and you get all the things together, and it may not taste that great I'm getting everybody hungry right now, I know. But it may not taste that great when you get it in there, but when you get it in the crock pot and you turn that thing on and it just simmers and it's just going over a period of time, all the things begin to meld and blend together. And so I'll just tell you this. If you're not seeing transformation and you're hearing the word, you just haven't cooked the ingredients long enough. What do I mean by that? Turn over to Joshua 1. You need to cook the word longer. And that's what we do when we listen to messages by others. They've cooked it already. But we still have to warm it up. Still have to let it simmer. Whether you've cooked it or someone else has cooked it, there's still some things we have to do. In Joshua 1, verse 8, is, you know, we're talking about the crock pot of the mind here. Joshua 1, verse 8, Amplified Version, says this, this book of the law, talking about the word, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Everybody say meditate. But you shall crockpot it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. And I think this is a key, and I think this is something that we're missing in the church. We're doing it already, but we're maybe not doing it in the right things. We've got to meditate the Word. And meditate, again, I've told you this definition. Meditate is to take something, you know, and you've heard like a yoga and different things, and you quiet your mind and you quiet out other things and you begin to meditate. And in the Hebrew, it actually means to rock. And you're thinking about some particular thing, and then you're repeating it over and over, and you're just getting into it, and you're letting go of all the other thoughts and just focusing in on these particular things. And it means to repeat something over and over and over and over. You're mulling on it, you're thinking about it, you're cooking it. You've got it in your mind's crock pot. You're taking the ingredients of the Word because it's in its raw form, and now you're taking it and going over it in your mind. And until it becomes a part of you. And then when the situations arise, instead of all the other things to do, the Word comes out. You can be in a crisis, and the Word comes. A calmness, a peace. God, you know, speaks to you. He shows you. Because what we're doing right now is we're meditating already, but we're just meditating on the wrong things. We're meditating on lack. We're meditating on the pain in our bodies, which I understand totally because it's just there. Or meditating on our checkbook balance. It's just right there, bam, in our face. We're meditating on it. We're meditating on circumstances. And we're meditating on offense and how people have hurt us. And see, when you do that, you're already doing that. So you'll go over the offense over and over and over and over until what happens? Bitterness. Hatred. And so we're using a godly ability, and we're using it for something else that's conforming us to the world's ways. Because what happens when you get bitter? You strike back, you say things, you do things. And what the Lord is saying to us, He's saying for us to meditate the Word, to put it into our minds. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I've got to study for 2 hours today. Whatever you have time for. But something needs to be in your mind. What does it say in Philippians 4, verse 8? Whatever is pure, perfect, of lovely report. What does it say? Meditate and think on these things. Now, this is easy to preach, harder to do. But I believe that it's the key to keep our filter clean. And when we keep our filter clean, then it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about there, you know, where eye has not seen and ear has not heard. But then it says that these mysteries will be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And so that we can actually have and live our lives with the mind of Christ. And we can actually do things that Jesus Himself would do if He were in our shoes. And God intends for us to live there. He intends for us to live our days there with God thoughts and God ideas and wisdom. And then what happens is when you're mind is renewed and your spirit is full of the word, then it'll start coming up, and then you'll speak it. It'll change your behavior. It'll change your world, the image on the inside. You'll begin to see yourself in Christ. And what happens when your mind is renewed? It changes the way you see God. You see Him as a loving, caring Heavenly Father. It changes the way you see yourself. But then what's really cool, because this is really the point behind it all, it changes the way you see others. And that's in turn where now we can be a blessing. We can now be the body of Christ. We can now be Jesus to the world. And miracles, and signs and wonders, and just in love. And we call this the battlefield of the mind. And the enemy is doing all he can to plant his seeds. That's the danger of something like TV, just to sit there hour after hour, mindlessly. It's almost like you're just so engrossed. What's happening? Your mind is being washed. But what's it being washed with? I shouldn't say washed. Maybe I should say polluted. Yeah. It's like that air, that dust, that dirt, it's just coming into the filter and it's sticking. And you're just sitting there. But He wants our filter. And it's a process and it's every day. And that's why we have Christians that just do crazy things. And we don't understand why they do certain things. That's no different than the world. Because we can slip back and the filter can get clogged. And the thinking can get fuzzy. And the connection with God, even though the Spirit's crying out, no, 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 or whatever, you just don't hear it because it's kind of muffled. So we need to see ourselves differently. The Word, by renewing our minds, we begin to see ourselves differently. We begin to say things differently. We begin to do things differently. And then we'll begin to get the God kind of results. Joshua says, we'll deal wisely and have good success. And I'm praying for you that in 2011, it'll be a year of renewing your mind. That when we come to the end of the year and we reflect back, we're going to see tangible transformation in our lives because our minds have been renewed. Amen? Let's stand, everybody. Father in heaven, we give You praise. Thank You for the Word of God, Father. The power in Your Word to feed us and to nourish us and to renew our minds. Lord, if we've let some things slip, we go ahead and just make some adjustments right now. And we make a decision, Lord, to feed on the Word. But then we make a decision every day, to meditate. To meditate and ponder and mull and cook the Word of God and feed on it, Father. Keep our minds clear, Father. And so we'll have God thoughts and God ideas and wisdom from heaven. To make right decisions and do right things in 2011. So I thank You, Father, You're helping us with these big habits. Lord, again, I thank You, this congregation, that they not only hear the Word of God, Father, but they do it and they act upon it. And because of that,